Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It is fantastic to have your company for another episode of the show. Now, before we get started on today's show, I want to let you know that if you're a motivated, driven practice owner and you want to have a practice that's growing, scaling, becoming really valuable and everything else in between, I want to invite you to an upcoming growth summit. It's called the Dental Growth Summit of 2022. And on that Growth Summit, we're going to be talking about a bunch of things. There's a great panel of people coming to speak, and some of the topics that we're going to be covering are around strategy, getting the strategic direction right, how to add revenue streams, how to get your finances in track, managing cash flow, all the numbers you need to be thinking about, the data points and so on, how to get your marketing right, how to build capacity, get your legal sorted, and everything in between. And whether you're a practice that's, you know, really in that growth stage, or whether you're in a scaling stage, or even if you're planning to exit at some point in the future, this is going to be important because ultimately you want to create a practice that is maximally valued. So the Growth Summit is being held in the evenings of September 5 through to September 8. It's a free event. It's an online event. And there's a group of panelists, as I said, coming to talk to you about everything to do with practice ownership. I'm really delighted to have been invited to be one of those panelists, and I can't wait to get there and to share a few things that I've never really shared before. And I know others are sharing some things from the recesses of their vault of knowledge as well, which will be, you know, the first time some of you would have heard some of these concepts, and the first time certainly would have heard them in a cohesive manner. So the Growth Summit is going to be held, as I said, September 5 to September 8. It's an evening session, totally free event. If you'd like to come along, head across to practicesuccess.org/DentalGrowth2022. So that's practicesuccess.org/DentalGrowth2022. Can't wait to see you there. So let's get into today's episode. Now, one of the questions that I've been pondering for, decades now is around human achievement and success. And it's always fascinated me why some people achieve more than others. And it's usually not to do with talent. It's usually not to do with ability. It's usually not to do with anything like that. It is often to do with intent and design. And so what I really wanted to talk today about was creating a practice by design, creating a life by intent. And how do we become intentional about creating a business that we love so that we can create a life that we love? And here's what I've noticed is a lot of people go through life being unintentional. And when people are unintentional, they kind of wonder what's happening. Why aren't things working? And if you've ever wondered around that, you know, maybe there's something in this for you. But the people I know that are successful are not successful by accident. And equally, the people that are unsuccessful are not unsuccessful by accident. It's because they didn't think about it. And so most people in my world are really intentional about how they go about living their life. Most people are really intentional about how they grow their business. But what I've come to understand is that is not the norm. Most people go through life not through thinking about things, just coasting, or not really dedicating the time to planning that they could. And even the people that think they're planning perhaps could be doing it a lot better than they actually do. So in this episode of the podcast, I want to share with you a framework that helps me plan my life, my business, and it's the same framework that I share with our clients. Now, it's taken me about 20 years to nail this down. We've reduced it and reduced it to its pure essence so that we are distilling all the things that we need down to their purest form to give people a plan that moves the needle in the most effective way. We have removed extraneous things. It's a bit like having a Formula One car versus a station wagon. If you've got a station wagon, you know you've got luggage space, you've got ashtrays maybe, you've got CD players, you've got all those things. But if you want to go far and you want to go fast, you know, you're probably going to want to have a Formula One car. And that means stripping out some stuff. It means stripping out the CD player, maybe not having enough space for a suitcase in the back. And so it's really, really important to understand that. Now, if we're going to take that Formula One metaphor, we need a pit crew as well, because if you want to go fast, go solo. If you want to go far, have a team. And we need a combination of speed and distance. And of course, what we want to be creating is a business that's going to give you everything that you want. But of course, the first thing to understand is for a business to give you everything that you want, You've got to know what you want. You've got to be clear about what you want. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like a very simple concept to speak, but it's a much harder concept to live. I've been very fortunate in my life. I've never really struggled with that, but I know there's a bunch of people that have really found that hard. When I was growing up, I was always a dreamer. One of the great things my mother taught me as a kid growing up was to dream big dreams. I came from a family where we didn't have a lot. We had a lot of love, but we didn't have a lot of money. But the one great gift, the greatest gift perhaps that my mother instilled in me was the ability to dream, to let my imagination run wild. And so what I'd really like for you guys is to let your imagination run wild and think about all the things that you really want from your life. Now, before you go ahead and do that, I want to share with you the thing that trips up most dreams, and that is what I call butt face. And butt face is where you go, yeah, but, or you start to filter and you think, oh, that's not really possible. But here's a great expression. If you can conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. If you can conceive it and believe it, you can absolutely achieve it. So what we need to be doing is thinking about our dreams and our visions for ourselves, our life, our business, and really committing emotionally to that. And so what I want to share with you today is a simple process about how I have master planned my own life. I could speak for days on this, but I'm going to give you a pretty condensed version of it. And I want to share with you that it starts by getting clear about my 10-year vision. And when I'm thinking about my 10-year vision, I really start thinking about, well, where am I now? And I look at a tool that I've had for years. It's a very common tool in the coaching world called the life wheel. And you imagine a wagon wheel and you divide your wagon wheel up into either 6 pieces or 8 pieces or however many pieces. And each of those pieces relates to an element of your life. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's hobbies. Maybe it's finances and wealth. Maybe it's about health and well-being. All of those sorts of areas of your life get a piece of the pie. And if you were to look at that circle, that wagon wheel, the center of the circle represents 0 and the outside of the circle represents 10. And so what I do is I then rate myself based on my own level of satisfaction around each of those areas of my life. You know, I give myself a score out of 10 regarding my health and well-being, my relationships, my finances, my wealth, and so on. And you get the picture. Then what I'm really looking to try and do is to get a bit of a snapshot of where am I now? Then I want to think about, like, if I was living my best life, if I was living my dream life and I allowed myself to dream, to truly dream without filtering and without getting caught in butt face, what does a 10 out of 10 look like for me? And I start writing all of those things down and I start creating a journal around that. And what I'm trying to do is to get a really vivid picture in my mind about what my ideal life looks like. It's called a vivid vision. And a vivid vision is something that's compelling and energizing. And that energy and compulsion that you have towards your vision is what drives you forward every single day in pursuit of that vision. And you know you've got a really good, clear vision when you feel energized by it. And it allows you to overcome the inevitable obstacles that crop up. Because here's the thing, we all have obstacles. We all have challenges. Everyone's dealing with their own amount of stuff, right? Whether it's health and well-being stuff, you know, whether it's family stuff, maybe it's just, you know, drama at work, whatever it is, everyone's got it, right? No one is immune to stuff. We're all carrying around crap. And so the first step, as I said, is to get really clear about that vision. And so we want to know in absolute clarity what your vision is for your life and where your practice fits into that. Now, of course, when it comes to having that vision, we want to be thinking about, you know, those elements of the life wheel, as I said, but we're going to talk specifically about your business here, because what I want to do is to create a business by design so that you can be intentional about the other elements of your life, but because the same principles apply. So I'm just going to focus in on the business part of your life at the moment, but you'll hear me reference other parts of your life as well. So really, when I'm looking at a 10-year vision, I'm trying to think, you know, where am I in the future? And I want to just alert you to something before we get into that vision, and that is we drastically overestimate what we can achieve in 12 months and radically underestimate what we can achieve in a decade. Now, I have lots of people come through our coaching program and they're impatient to achieve success. I get it because I'm an impatient guy too. I want everything done yesterday. But the truth of the matter is that we often set ourselves up for failure by overestimating what we're going to get done in a year. And what happens is people waste energy and they waste time looking for that next best thing, the new sugar hit, the new craze, the new whatever it is that they think are going to give them their instant results, their 12-month results. Whereas if you stay the course, you're going to achieve way more than you would if you pinball around wasting energy, dissipating focus, and all of those things. And it's really important to stay the course. Choose a path and stick to it. The great investor John Bogle, the man who invented Vanguard, is famous for saying, stay the course. What he observed in investing was that people lost money because they were trying one strategy, swapping out of that, trying the next strategy, swapping out of that when it didn't deliver results instantaneously, and going to the third and the fourth and the fifth and so on. And it's the same in business. We've got to be patient. We've got to understand that we are creating a 10-year vision, not a 10-month, 10-minute kind of action plan that's going to give us instant success and instant fame. I understand that, you know, in today's world, a lot of stuff is instant, but success is not. Of any kind of sustainable success, it comes through application of principles over a period of time. So let's get into that. So when it comes to your practice vision, you might be thinking, well, it's now 2032 and I'm however old I am. And what I want you to do is to write your vision in the present tense as though you're in 2032. It's 2032 and I'm now in my practice and my practice revenue is blah. My profit is blah. My amount of time I spend in the practice clinically is X number of hours a week. I spend X number of hours business building. I spend X number of hours, you know, doing admin, and I spend X number of hours a week having free time. So the four types of time we want to be clear about is our clinical time, our admin time, how much time we're doing reports and referrals and that kind of low-level admin, how much time we're spending business building and thinking strategically about the business, and then how much free time we have. And all four types of time are important to have in your life. We can't let our life be overtaken by the business. We can't let our life be swamped by the business. I was talking to someone today and she was saying to me that, you know, she finds it sometimes a bit overwhelming just to create time. And we spoke about just putting boundaries around time. So we want to make sure that you are clear about what your life looks like. You want to be clear about other elements of your practice too. You know, some of these things are really quantitative, like the revenue and the profit and all the rest, but others are more qualitative. You know, what's our practice look like? Where are we practicing? How many rooms do we have? What's our culture look like? What's the feel of the practice like? Who do we treat? All those sorts of things. And then you might, you know, want to go to the next part of your 10-year vision, which could be around your wealth. You know, maybe you're thinking about your net worth. You know, my net worth is, you know, however many dollars it happens to be. Maybe in your wealth, you factor in your cash reserve. So you've got a rainy day bank account so that you know that whatever happens, you know, whether there's another pandemic or something else, you're going to be okay because you've got money set aside. Equally, you might want to be thinking about other investments that you have. Maybe you're thinking about wealth creation outside of the practice. When it comes to your vision, I'd really encourage you to think a little broadly beyond your practice as well and think about the family elements. You know, maybe you've got spouses or kids or parents or cousins or whatever it is that you want to be connecting with. Maybe it's around, you know, what you do for hobbies and enjoyment or anything else of that nature. Getting clear about what your personal life looks like. And then on a day-to-day basis, what does your day look like? Are you doing school drop-offs? Are you the mum or dad that always volunteers for tuck shop duty? Are you there for sports days? You want to be really clear about what that looks like, because when you're 10 years older, so too will your kids. I'm at a stage of life now, if when I'm 10 years older from here, my kids will have well and truly left home. So my life now will look very different to what it looks like in 10 years' time. And so we want to be clear about that and create that and plan for the transition of those different elements. So just to kind of narrow in on the business elements for a moment, which is what I'd like to do for the remainder of this discussion, is I'd really like to think about, you know, that 10-year vision and breaking that those business goals down to, or that business vision down to 3-year goals. And so, of course, when it comes to goals, we're often talking about qualitative goals, things we can measure, SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-bound. We want to talk about all those sorts of goals. And so typically for me, when it comes to 3-year goals, I'm really looking at revenue of the practice. I'm looking at the profitability of the practice. I'm looking at those four types of time. I'm looking at another metric though, which is called effective hourly rate. And this is a really important metric that I'd really encourage you to set some goals around. Effective hourly rate is calculated by taking your profit of your practice, including any wages you might be taking, so every bit of money that comes to you from the practice, and dividing that by the number of hours you work at the practice, whether you're working as a dentist, whether you're working doing administrative work, and whether you're doing strategic or business building work. It's not the same as what you bill per hour with your patients, just to be clear with that. It's your profit divided by the number of hours you totally work. Now, what this measures is your ability to generate revenue. It measures your ability to manage your expenses, but it also measures the degree of leverage in your practice. And this is really important because effective hourly rate measures not just how much revenue or profit you create, it measures how you create that revenue or profit. It measures, are you doing all of this yourself, or have you got a team of people generating income for you? Have you got people managing things for you? It's a really important metric. And as you go through your practicing life, we want to see your effective hourly rate increase if you want to have a more scalable business model. If time is important to you, then building a team is going to be important to you. And of course, we then need to figure out what type of business model we need to have to achieve our goals and our vision. We might be operating almost like a rock star kind of business model, a bit like Lady Gaga, where you're kind of like the guy or the girl that does everything. And you know, you may find that really great, or you may want to have a more leveraged model where you've got other people coming along. And I'll talk about those models in a moment. But we've got to decide what type of business model you need to be having to achieve your vision and your goals. Now, before we kind of get into the business models themselves, I just want to make a little comment because this is something that I see really commonly. And there's no right or wrong when it comes to business model, by the way. The only thing I would say is it's about making sure that you choose the business model that you really want. At the moment in dentistry, we celebrate entrepreneurialism more than at any time we have in my living memory of being a dentist. And I think that's great. When I was growing up being a dentist, to be called an entrepreneur was almost like an insult. It implied that you cared about money and not about patients. It implied that you were somehow less virtuous than someone who was a pure clinician. Now, of course, we know that everyone today wants to be an entrepreneur of some sort, and entrepreneurs are celebrated a whole lot more. But one of the unintended consequences of that is there seems to be a bit of a mentality of go big or go home. Now, we work with lots of practices that have great big practices, massive practices, multiple practices, and equally we work with people with smaller practices. The point I'm trying to make is once you're clear about your vision, it's about choosing the business model that allows you to achieve that vision in as simple way as possible. And I'm aware that on Facebook, there's lots of great examples of people who've got big businesses and it's inspiring. But that doesn't mean it's the right business model for everyone. It's the right business model for them and good on them. And it might be the right business model for you too. But equally, it's about understanding that successful people rarely fail through outright failure. They just don't, right? Successful people fail by creating a business that they end up hating. And so I want to just put that out there so that you don't get caught up with this kind of mythology that we've got to go big or go home, or that to be a true entrepreneur, you've got to have a dozen practices or whatever it is. That's just not the case. And I'm not against anyone who does want that, and we help lots of people do that. But I'm really for getting the right business model for the right person to achieve their vision and making sure it's a good fit for them. So in any case, once we've got our 3 goals, we then want to break that down into 1-year milestones. We're going to use the same metrics. We're going to use revenue. We're going to use profit. We're going to use time, the 4 types of time. We're going to use effective hourly rate. We're going to look at what type of business model we want in 1 year. And of course, we're going to then look at team structures as well. So let's talk about business models for a moment before we start breaking that 1-year milestone into, you know, the next piece of the puzzle. I just want to talk about the 4 types of business model really quickly. We break it down into a metaphor around music. Now, I like metaphors. It just allows me to picture things in my mind. It's just a way of explaining things simply. And of course, there's going to be pros and cons to every single business model. Okay, so just to be clear, it's about the right business model for you. So the first type of business model, the simplest one, is to have a rock star. And typically, it's a simple model. Imagine Lady Gaga, right? Lady Gaga goes to work, she sings, she performs, she goes home. If she doesn't go to work, she doesn't get paid, because Lady Gaga knows that when she works, she earns, and when she doesn't work, she doesn't earn. But when she works, she earns so well that she can take time off and not worry about it too much. Now, the advantage of this is relatively simple, of course. You've got relatively low staff numbers, you've got high degree of control. and so on and so forth. But the big downside, of course, is a lack of leverage, and of course, you're not making money if you're not there. So you want to understand, if that's your model and you want to stay in that model, you want to think of, well, how do I grow within that model? How do I maximize that? How do I become the best Lady Gaga that I can be? But equally, if you want to go into another type of business model, then we need to know what the strategies are for changing. Now, typically, before you change business model, it's usually worthwhile to maximize the existing business model. Not always, but usually. And typically, you want to maximize your business model before you shift gear and move up to the next business model. And the next business model in our metaphor is a rock star with a band. So if you think of rock stars with bands, you'll have your own version of, you know, artists that you think of and whatnot. But for me, when I think of a rock star with a band, usually it's a front man or a front woman with a couple of musicians behind them. I think of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. That's just because that's part of my growing up and my generation. But the simple fact of the matter is, if you go to see Bruce Springsteen, yeah, he's got his musicians there, but you probably wouldn't go and see the E Street Band without Bruce Springsteen. You might if you're an absolute hardcore devotee, but generally people that see the E Street Band see them as a backup band for Bruce Springsteen. And so typically, again, this is a little bit more complex than the previous model, but not that much more. You've got a couple of extra people on board, maybe some associates, some therapists and so on. You don't get as much leverage as you do with other models, but you get some leverage, right? And of course, you know, we can then look at how we help that band perform better. And again, if you want to change track, we've got to know how to do that. The third type of business model is what we call a supergroup. The beauty of a supergroup is you've got people with unique skill sets, unique profiles coming together to form an entity that is greater than the sum of its individual parts. So if you think about bands, again, I'm going back to my vintage, I think of the Traveling Wilburys. Now, I can't think of a more modern example. So for those that are younger than me, you'll have your own example. But if you think of the Traveling Wilburys, you had George Harrison from the Beatles, you had Jeff Lynne from Electric Light Orchestra, you had Roy Orbison, you had Tom Petty, and of course you had Bob Dylan in there, all of whom were very well-known artists in their own right, coming together to produce this supergroup. Now, in dental practice, that might be when you've got someone with great skills in endodontics coming in, someone else with great skills in ortho, someone else with great skills in pros or full mouth rehab or surgical skills or whatever it is, all coming together, and you form a really great group where you've almost got this network effect of referrals within the group and everyone moving forward together. It's a really good model to have, but it's a hard model to find everyone with those skill sets. And so, of course, you know, you do need a larger entourage when that's happening. You've got more staff, more people to hire, train, on board, etc. More people to manage, of course. And then, of course, you know, we need to be able to think about what the next stage is beyond that. And the next stage beyond that is if you've got multiple practices. And in our metaphor, we call that the manager of the band. So if you're a band manager, you typically have one great band or two great bands, and then you've got a couple of other ones that are maybe up-and-comers and maybe less thans, but they're still good. And so if you want to own a multiple practice ownership model, then that's really what we're talking about. You've got much greater capacity for leverage. You've got much greater possibility of multiple streams of income. You manage to spread your risk across the different entities, and it does give you the opportunity to be a little bit further removed from the coalface. So, of course, the challenge, though, is you've got to be able to lead a team, build a team. You're dependent on others, so your skills as a leader really have to be sharp. You can get pulled in different directions if you don't set it up properly. Complexity increases. And of course, each of those practices may perform differently. So we're going to need to have some structures around reporting and how do you run this remote control. So we help a lot of people do this. And as I said at the beginning, I'm not for or against any one business model. I'm just saying choose the right one for you. So when it comes to your vision, it's really important that you're clear about that vision. As I said at the beginning, we've got to have absolute crystal clarity around that vision, because that crystal clarity and the emotional connection to it is what's going to drive us through. And there will be days when it's easy, and there'll be other days where it's a little bit tough. And someone said to me once, there's always tears before bedtime, right? And that's true. You're always going to have a day here or there where it's a bit tough. And so your vision and the strength of that vision is what's going to pull you through those tough times to make sure you get to the other side and you actually achieve that vision. So once we've got our 10-year vision, our 3-year goals, our 1-year milestones, we then need to break that down into quarters. And so from a quarterly perspective, what we're really looking to do then is go, well, what are the things I need to be doing and creating a cadence of projects and achieving things to make sure that we're constantly moving the ball towards our goals? And that means we need to be clear about what tasks to do. It means sometimes we need to let some fires burn, as the expression goes, but we need to be okay with choosing one or two or no more than three things to focus on in any given quarter. And if it's one thing, that's great. It can't be more than three, because here's what we know is when you start doing more than three things, even three things can be a stretch, your focus dissipates. And when your focus dissipates, you spend a lot of energy bouncing from one thing to another. And that's when you don't achieve the things that you want to achieve. And that's when you start thinking, oh gosh, I'm not where I wanted to be in the 12 months because my focus has been everywhere. We need to be able to zero in on our activities, our actions, and know that whatever we do on a day-to-day basis or a quarterly basis is going to move that needle. And so that's why we need to have that really high degree of focus. That ties then into what we do on a daily and weekly basis. So we use a tool called the Most Important Thing Daily Planner, and that is the thing that allows us to really focus in on a day-by-day basis to really make sure we're doing the things that need to be done to make sure that we achieve the quarterly projects and complete those so that we then ultimately achieve our 12-month milestones, we achieve our three-year goals, and we're on the way to completing our 10-year vision. So just to summarize all those things, oftentimes people ask me, why is it that some people achieve so much whereas others achieve more modestly? And it's because every single person I know is successful by intent. They didn't do it by accident. They were deliberate. They're intentional about it. I've just outlined a process that I've been using now for decades. It's a process that took me a long time to refine. I've stripped it back to its barest of bare essentials because I'm really interested in what I need to do to move the needle and not much else. It's easy to be caught up in distraction. It's easy to be caught up with noise. It's hard to maintain a degree of focus. And by stripping out the inessential, we have the ability to really focus on the things that do matter most. And that's what this whole process is about, is using our time, our attention, our resources like money and other things of that nature for their highest and best use. So where we put our time, attention, money, energy, effort matters a great deal. Our time, attention, money, effort, and energy, and how we use it is what determines the degree of success. So my whole process here is about how to use those resources with intent, and I've just given you a structure to do that. So I hope you find that really helpful, because ultimately my view is if you're going to go through the effort of creating a great business, you want to create a business that you love, a practice that you love, and a life that you love is what we talk about. Because as I said at the beginning, successful people are successful by design. And successful people don't fail because they don't put in the work. They don't fail because they're not up to it. They don't fail because of any of that. Typically, successful people only fail when they create something they don't love. So I hope that makes sense to you. I hope you found that really helpful. And I look forward to seeing you next week for another episode of the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Take care. Have a good week. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.